This week, we're taking a closer look at the candidates vying to replace retiring Governor Butch Otter. As part of our coverage of the 2018 election, we're bringing you conversations with each of the candidates running for governor who face a primary challenge. James Dawson spoke with Congressman Raul Labrador first about his plan to ensure access to health insurance for the estimated 62,000 Idahoans who fall into the Medicaid gap.
I don't think it's a responsibility of the government to provide insurance for individuals. Our responsibility is to reduce the cost of health insurance for individuals, not to provide it for them. And that's one of the reasons I have been trying to repeal Obamacare. Obamacare increased the cost of health insurance for everybody. The health insurance premiums that we have are too high, and what we need to do is we need to reduce those premiums. We need to get rid of the regulations that are increasing the cost of health insurance. We need to have we can have access to health care if we can provide for the people of Idaho, if we can find ways for them to get direct care through some low-cost health care providers here in the state.
But Governor Otter and Lieutenant Governor Brad Little tried that earlier this year, and the Center for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, Medicare and Medicaid Services, said Obamacare is still federal law, so we cannot do that. How would you as governor try to reduce the cost of health care then, or reduce the cost of health insurance?
Well, you need to look at some of the regulations. You need to work with the administration. The administration told them that there were some things that they could do. Just their plan, their specific plan, did not work. But there are some plans out there where you can actually provide for lower cost health insurance if you can renew them annually. And the Trump administration is working on that and working on ways to change some of the regulations so you can reduce the cost of health insurance for people in those populations.
Idaho ranks 40th in the nation for its low high school graduation rates. Mm-hmm. How would you tackle that problem when Idaho is already projected to have a shortage of skilled workers in the very near future?
You know, that's a significant problem that the state faces, and we need to increase the wages of the community. We need to increase the high-skill workers, but we need to make sure that we provide the local communities the ability to tackle the education problems. I think for too long we have had the Boise and the state superintendent and the legislature mandating too many regulations to the local administrators and the local school districts. We need to give the administrators the ability to do their job and to be able to figure out how they can work with their local student population. We need to set high standards at the state level, and those high standards can be met by the local communities without us mandating how they reach those standards.
Well, you said something interesting in a debate a couple weeks ago, how Idaho needs to do a better job of identifying proper pathways for students.
Correct.
Early. Do you think that would look, because I've seen similar models abroad or elsewhere in the country where, you know, a student might go to a vo-tech high school instead of a traditional high school. Is that sort of what you were hinting at?
I'm not sure that we need to send them to a vo-tech high school, although some of them are quite good. But what we need to do, we want to have – my goal as governor is that every child needs to have a meaningful opportunity after high school. And that means either having enough credits towards an advanced degree, whether it's a vocational credit or whether it's getting an associate's degree, or we need to help them remediate the children that have not received the proper education. Right now, we're doing all of our remediation at the community college level, and we should be doing it in high school.
What would you do to preserve Idaho's rich cultural Western heritage while also embracing its identity as the fastest growing state in the country?
That's a great question. I think one of the problems that we have in Idaho is that we are indeed the fastest growing state in the nation, but we're still in the bottom 10 when it comes to minimum wage jobs. We're still in the bottom 10 when it comes to GDP. We're still in the bottom 10 when it comes to per capita income. Right now what we're doing is we are encouraging companies to come to Idaho, and we pick those. The governor's office through the Department of Commerce decides who's going to get the benefits and who's not. I don't think we should do that. I think we need to lower taxes for everyone. We need to lower regulations reduce regulations for everybody and treat everybody the same. If everybody's being treated the same, then the growth will be more organic. The companies in Idaho will grow with the culture that they're used to in Idaho, and the companies that decide to move to Idaho will be companies that decide that they want the culture of Idaho. And I think that will bring about an economic growth that will be unprecedented in the state level.
Since this is such a contested primary, how do you plan to represent people who might not vote for you?
You know, I have always represented people that do not vote for me. One of the best things that I get in my office are people who constantly thank me for doing constituent services for them. And I think we have a really good reputation as the office in the state that provides the best constituent services. I will disagree with people about policy, but when they come to my office to receive a service from the congressional office, they get the best service possible. And when they come to me when I'm the governor of the state, they will continue to receive the best service possible.
That was Congressman Raul Labrador speaking with James Dawson. One of the three Democrats running to be Idaho's next governor is Paulette Jordan. The former lawmaker from Plummer served two terms in the state legislature representing a district in North Idaho. Jordan is a Native American and a member of the Coeur d'Alene tribe. If she were to become governor, she would be Idaho's first female executive and the nation's first Native American governor. Boise State Public Radio's Matt Gillum sat down with Jordan and started the conversation with a question about health care.
As governor, what would you do to provide health insurance coverage to the up to 62,000 Idahoans that don't qualify for Medicaid or Affordable Care Act subsidies?
It is certainly a hot button issue because everyone wants access to health care, as they should. It's a basic human right, I believe. So I would firmly stand in favor of expanding Medicaid once governor of Idaho. I don't think it's very difficult to do so. And it's part of my four-year strategy. One, I want to make sure health care is accessible. I want to expand rural health clinics in Idaho. We don't necessarily have access to women's health care in most parts of our state, which I want to make sure is accessible to people in the rural parts of Idaho, which is a vast majority of Idaho.
Well, we talk about education as well as a big issue. Teacher pay has been in the news of late. Idaho is 40th in the nation when it comes to high school graduation rates. I'm wondering how you would tackle that problem when Idaho is already projected to have a shortage of skilled workers over the next few years.
There's definitely a shortage of skilled workers, but there's also a shortage of teachers, and we're not seeing that rebound fast enough. It's why I promoted a bill with Representative Sally Toon over the last two sessions to simply offset their student loan debt. However, it still doesn't really address the issue at large. A lot of that is, how do we keep our teachers in the rural school settings? How do we keep them home? For me, I've always believed in homegrown everything. So you're going to invest in your kids, you're going to invest in your businesses and your local infrastructure. You look at the opportunities with the tech sector. We have a lot of tech industries all throughout Idaho that are building up that we can certainly plug our students into. When we're not able to adjust and keep up, we basically hold our teachers back from promoting our kids. You know, I always speak from example as a mom. My son is really advanced for most schools, and unfortunately, they could not keep up in Northern Idaho. The public school district failed my son, and a lot of it had to do with just the lack of resources and the support system that the teachers had, especially when they have advanced students. They weren't able to recover quick enough to help him onto the next grade. But I'm seeing this all across the state.
Well, in talking about education, you mentioned the sort of burgeoning tech sector that is putting down roots in Idaho. We've got places like Micron and HP has a location here. The state has a rich Western heritage and it treasures rural outdoor areas, but the urban centers are also on the rise and growing quickly. What would you do to preserve Idaho's traditions while also embracing its identity as the fastest growing state?
I guess the identity that Idaho is the fastest growing state could be one that we should research further. I think what I've seen more is the advancing of the growing population of those who are older, retiring, and moving to Idaho. For me up north, I think the challenge there is when you have people who are just ready to retire and they're buying up land, they're not wanting to ultimately contribute to the base as well. So there's always this offset where we are having to challenge folks who don't want to continue to invest into Idaho and want to limit their resources to our community, which is challenging because then there's not really much of a benefit for the rest of the people that have been here for a while. And then you have, of course, the growing population of that next generation. There's certainly an opportunity where you have to look at connecting all the pieces. Right now, it would be connecting the schools, education, creating that pipeline for the tech sector and allowing them to be a part of that conversation so that they know that the resources that are here in Idaho will stay here in Idaho and help them.
I want to wrap up with a final question, sort of a very broad meta question, but with the primary being so contested, both on the Democratic side and certainly on the Republican side, How do you plan to represent those people that might not vote for you?
I already am. You know, I come from a very rural part of Idaho. I'm not dripping with wealth. I'm not a millionaire. I am born and raised here in Idaho, and I was raised by the community of Idaho. So everyone that has touched upon my life, they come from all backgrounds, all walks of life. These are people who identify Republican, they identify Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, mostly unaffiliated. This is a basic grassroots movement that is built up by the people. The ultimate goal is to represent the people, so it is truly justice for all.
Paulette Jordan is a former state representative running for Idaho governor as a Democrat. Thank you so much for coming in today.
All right. Thank you.
That was gubernatorial candidate Paulette Jordan talking with Matt Gillum. We will hear from the rest of the candidates running for governor throughout the week.